Welcome back to the Unbox broadcast. Today, Dr. Davis and I will continue part four of our series on the four ways that leaders can work on their emotional maturity. We're excited you're here and we're ready to dive in. So stick around as we help you unbox the power and the potential of your leadership.
I'm Dr. Robert Davis, family life educator and leadership coach. This is my co-host, R.P. Soriano. Soriano attended Johns Hopkins Carey Business School, worked in the financial industry, and was an international consultant before partnering with me to launch Unbox the Lead. Me? Well, I worked for over 20 years as a senior pastor and a community organizer. Then I retired and started a leaders peer support community called Unbox the Lead. Soriano and I have been friends since the early 90s, and with our varied experiences and expertise, we help leaders reach the next level in their leadership. So join us for the next few moments as we unbox the power and the potential of your relationships, your leadership, and your life.
All right, welcome back, one and all, wherever in the world you may be. I'm R.P. Soriano, and with me once again is Dr. Robert Davis. How are you, my friend?
Man, feeling better than I deserve.
All right. I don't know what that means, but we're going to roll with it anyway. I want to ask everyone, please like, share, and subscribe the broadcast. Be sure to visit our website, www.unboxtolead.com, where you can learn more about what we do and the offers that we provide for all of you out there in the world of leadership. So we're at part four of our, well, this is the fourth broadcast in a series that we have started on the four ways that leaders can work on emotional maturity. We have described what emotional maturity is. We have talked about how this is a key component, or this is basically the foundation of what Unbox to Lead does for our leadership community and the people that we work with, and describe why it's important. We talked about what started us down this path to emotional maturity. And in our last show, we got one of the four areas that we could focus on for improving emotional maturity. And the first thing we discussed was understanding your level as a leader, understanding your level of emotional maturity and where you are. And that brought us up to what we're going to talk about today, or the first point that we're going to address today. And that is learning to observe relationship triangles. So in the sake of time, I want to go ahead and pass the baton over to you, Robert, and let you take it away from here.
Yeah, I just want to just take a quick second to recap. And that is, last time we were here, and I encourage everyone to go back and listen to the first three parts, we talked about becoming clear about your level of emotional maturity. And because a lot of what we do and everything springs out of that is that realism, that's sober thinking through, okay, where am I at and where do I want to go? So I really want to encourage everyone to go back and listen to parts one, two, and three. So one of the ways that we can work on our emotional maturity is by learning to observe relationship patterns, specifically relationship triangles. And what do we mean by relationship triangles? Raphael and I, you and I have talked about this many times before. Human beings are in triangles. There's nothing we can do about it. It's neither good nor bad. It just is. It becomes good if we operate them good. It becomes bad if you operate them bad. Triangles are just like food. If you eat the right food, it's good. Eat the wrong food, it's bad. Eat the right food, you get good outcomes. Eat the wrong food, you get bad outcomes. So it is what it is. So a triangle is just basically when two people are in relationship together and the relationship becomes too tense, it is inevitable that a third person will be triangled in. They'll be triangled in through gossip, triangled in through seeking help and assistance, or whatever it may be. Hey, I can't manage this. Robert is just too difficult to deal with. Mary, I need to bring you into this thing. And again, bringing into it to just be, I need to vent to you. I need someone to sympathize with me. I need someone to gossip to, or whatever. But a third person is going to be brought in. A second way the triangles look, of course, is when three people are in relationship. And then the relationship between two people looks one way. This is just natural. It is what it is. Two people in one-to-one relationship looks one way. Once you bring in a third person, it automatically changes the dynamic of the relationship duo, because now you've introduced a third person. And so that in of itself is a relationship triangle. And so when individuals can, number one, just think, oh, I'm in a relationship triangle. It is what it is. It's neither good nor bad. It is. The three of us sitting here having a conversation is a relationship triangle. If just two of us were sitting here talking about who is the greatest football team of all time, it would look one way. Because there's three of us here, it looks completely different. That changes the dynamic. How am I going to manage? So we encourage people to observe relationship triangles. And so how do I manage relationship difficulties between myself and another person, including a third person? And then how do I manage myself in a three-person relationship? And it's really important for leaders to do this. And I'm going to put a slide up on the screen real quick here. And I want to show you what a triangle looks like. So if you have a team and you identify on your team, and this is from my work in the task force. The names are fictitious. There's no one that I'm aware of named Director Smith in the Denver City Government. And so these are fictitious names, except for mine, of course. But, okay, I realize that I am in a relationship with a community member named Deborah and a city official named Director Smith. And I want to observe certain things. I want to observe who is it that I am in alliance with and who's on the outside position. I want to be able to think about a couple other things. I want to think about, what is the relationship between Deborah and myself when Director Smith is not around? What is the relationship between Director Smith and myself when Deborah's not around? And then what is the relationship between the three of us when we're all around? And then even when we're all three around, what is the relationship between Deborah and Director Smith? And what part am I playing in that relationship? Did you just see those series of questions that I just ran through? You know, what are those three parts? So we're going to stay at that first slide there for a second. What are those three parts? So again, I'm going to run through those questions that we ask. What is the relationship between Deborah and myself? And I noticed, hold up, Deborah and I are in an alliance. We both share the idea that Director Smith is making poor decisions regarding the needs of the community. Both of us are saying, man, he's bought and paid for by big corporations or his buddies and his friends and kickbacks, whatever, you know, the routine. So I noticed that Deborah and I are in alliance. That automatically means that Director Smith is on what is called the outside position. So that's another thing we look for. Who in this triangle is on the outside position? Because no one likes to be in the outside position, and people will do their best to try to get back into a more comfortable inside position. So noticing these little bit of things, what are the relationships like individually? What does it look like when we all come together? This, just asking that question will completely revolutionize your organization as a leader. When you think about how these relationship triangles, and you can imagine that if you as a leader have, let's just say you have five direct reports, and you were to sit there and to map out, I believe that if you have about, my math is horrible, but if you have five people, including yourself, makes the sixth person on a team, then you automatically have that amount of triangles.
Smarter people than us can figure that out.
Smarter people than us, man, can tell you exactly how many triangles that would be. I have no clue. I'm not going to even try. But if you were to actually map out a triangle like this for every single group in your team, and to think about how those relationship dynamics look depending on who's in relationship with one another, it really does help you. Because one of the things, and the reason I use the word observe relationship triangles is because, and I'm going to go to the next slide real quick here, is because one of the things that a leader has to develop is the ability to do effective research on the relationships. Jane Goodall did a phenomenal job observing the relationships of chimpanzees. Was it gorillas or chimpanzees that Jane?
I think it was gorillas for her.
It was gorillas?
But I think it was gorillas. But look, I know some the people in this field would be upset if we got it wrong, but I don't think gorillas or chimpanzees.
Primates. If we say primates, we know that we know we're somewhere. Yes. We'll just say primates. Yes. And her observation of primates and Jane Goodall, our apologies if you ever stumble across us, even if she's still alive.
Our apologies for both, for stumbling across the show and for getting it wrong.
So, but yeah, so she just documented. She did a great job of just giving names to each of the primates that was in that particular community, and then just documenting what the various behavior and relationship, her observations of their relationships were, just in such a matter of fact way. She said, "Oh, here's a group of primates. There's a mother. That looks a little bit different. She's spending an inordinate amount of time with this." With her young, and the young is not growing at the same normal pace. And then when the mother dies, the young stayed at the place of his mother's death and wept, and then died, I can't remember, a few weeks later. Just pure observations. This is interesting. Oh, it's interesting on how they select who's going to be the leader of their clan. Oh, it's interesting how they do this, that, and the other. And if we as leaders, the more that we can step back and take on an observational research posture, the more it helps us to become clearer. Because what we want to do as leaders is we want to activate the frontal cortex portion of our brain, which is where the problem solving, creativity, and everything else resides. We want to activate that part. And so when you enter into research mode, whatever you are researching, when you enter into research mode and begin to generate a series of questions that you would like to have answered. So when I look at this triangle and I'll jump down to this last triangle. When I look at this last triangle, I see myself and I see that I'm working now no longer with a city official. I'm now working with two direct service providers in the community. And how am I managing myself? What is the dynamics between the relationship between Mary and Sandra? What is the direct relationship between Mary and me? And my ability, here's another thing, my ability to maintain a one-to-one relationship with Mary and to maintain a one-to-one relationship with Sandra, even though the two of them may be in conflict, is unbelievable. It is remarkable. So when we can ask those questions, when we can look, when we can stay in contact, when we can learn to observe relationship triangles, that is one of the most effective ways. And you just think about that. What is your relationship? I'm going to ask you, Raphael, not to answer it, but just to think about it. What is my relationship one-to-one with my youngest daughter? Mm-hmm. What is my relationship one-to-one with my oldest daughter? What is my relationship with my daughters when the two of them are in conflict with each other or have differences or whatever you want to call it? How do I manage myself? Which ones do I gravitate towards? Just these simple little questions has a profound impact. And too often we as humans don't ask those questions. The questions of what's really going on here? What is, you know, what is transpiring in these triangles?
Yeah, and I like the way you've laid this out because I think we all know that something is not right or something is an issue when we're dealing with more than one person in the relationship or when we bring in another person to the relationship. I think we all know that there's something's just not right the way I am with this person and then the way I am when this other person enters a dynamic. But you're right, observing that, understanding the technical features of that and looking for ways to work on that is really what's going to, instead of just giving up, because a lot of times we'll know, oh, I've got this situation sucks and it's blah, 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 and I don't want to deal with it and let them deal with it or whatever the case may be. But at least if you have the strategy, it helps. And I like where you ended up on this. And I think that transitions, that gives us a segue to the next thing that we want to talk about is you asked me, what is it like in the dynamics of my own home with my own daughters and in that situation? With observing the triangles there. So I think that that really is a good segue for what we want to talk about next, which is studying your family's multi-generational transmission process. That is going to be key and understanding how you manage triangles yourself, correct?
Exactly.
Beyond just observing, but now getting a sense of how am I pre-programmed? What is it going on within me to be able now to deal with that now that I've observed it? And by the way, our executive producer, I think, corrected us and gave us, did some research and let us know that Jane Goodall did chimps.
It was chimps. Okay. So I was correct on the front end. Okay, all right. Nice. Yeah. For everybody who actually does science, our apologies.
Yes.
I want to pick up what you just said there, Raphael. For instance, here's a classic way that this looks in families. Because I talked about the workplace. A classic way this works in families, those up there. Take out Robert, Sandra, and Mary and put mom, dad, and child. So let's pretend that Sandra's the child. Here's how triangles look. And it happens so fast, a lot of times we don't often think about it because we don't really see the harm in it. Child comes to us and says, mom just yelled at me and she won't let me do X, Y, and Z. Now, we just entered into a triangle relationship with our child. And so then we end up putting mom in the outside position, calling ourselves helping. How do we do that? By saying, well, listen, it's okay. You know, mom has been really working hard this week and she's very tired. So she's a little fussy, but it's okay. What do you need help with? We just put mom on the outside position in that particular triangle. That's why mapping out these triangles, literally putting the names on a piece of paper, and then in these little blank spaces here on the side where each side of the triangle is, and just writing out what does the relationship look like here, and what does it look like when these three come together? And you could probably write that out in the middle of the triangle. What does it look like when the three come together? It's just unbelievable at helping to manage and to develop strategies for how to be more effective in relationships in general.
And there's a lot of permutations on that when you're dealing with three people. You end up with multiple triangles. It's a fun exercise. It is a fun exercise. Yeah. It's an interesting exercise, and it's well worth it. I'm definitely gonna do it for my family, and just because it's worth the time and the effort. And it's very simple because it does, like you said, it puts you in observation mode. You get some clarity, and I think that's what we're all really striving for in a lot of ways. Is where can I get some clarity so that I can move forward?
And I'm gonna do a little transparency here. You and I had a conversation a few weeks ago about a relationship. There was a relationship with one of our team members. And in these meetings, oftentimes I would go off track, which I'm apt to do. And sometimes I would get verbose, and there were things that we needed to cover. And so one of the things that I did in preparation for my conversation with you about that triangle was to actually map out what I thought was going on. And you remember the conversation that you and I had? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was by simply putting it down. What happened was it allowed a certain level of objectivity versus blaming and saying, Raphael is wrong. And I don't want to call the other person in because I don't have their permission. But, you know, I'll just say Joe Blow is wrong or whatever it may be. It's now helps me to just get to see what is going on from a more factual research perspective so that I can begin to say, okay, let me see what is transpiring here. Let me see the ways that I can describe it without using accusatory language, which is what all scientists do. They just describe what they are observing. They describe how the cancer is metastasizing. They describe how the virus is spreading without using accusatory language. And that's a very important aspect and is so essential when we're talking about building stronger, healthier relationships.
Yeah. And I have to say, I even after we had that conversation, I went and spoke to my wife about it. And I said, you know, there was a way that I was behaving that I was aware of it, but I was not, like I said earlier, I was not understanding the consequences of that action. And the way you brought that to me was, it was perfect. It was beautiful. And I even told her, I said, I didn't realize that I was doing this. I mean, I realized that I was doing this, but I did not realize the impact it was having on the triangle, as you've, you know, described it. We'll use that. We'll stick with that term. I didn't realize the impact it was having. And the way Robert brought it to me was it was perfect. It was really, right. Really, it was a perfect. And that's, I don't say that much about anything that Robert does. But in that instance, I had no problem saying that. So yeah, that is a good example of how we worked internally on that issue. And it really helped me to kind of get my, and to discuss in a way that I could discuss what my challenges were. And you were open to understanding that. And I was open to understanding how that was probably not the most productive way for me to deal with the challenges that I was having. So it was very good work. So we do take our own medicine.
We actually do take our own medicine, because what it does is it moves us into a research project versus a fixing somebody project.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, if the challenge is that we need to increase revenue with our, let's just say, with our diet soft drink products, they're just not selling. When you approach it from a research perspective, hey, let's research and see what's going on here, versus a, hey man, why can't those guys get their act right perspective, it really does help you to think through more solutions. It helps you to say, okay, I wonder how much of that is, let's see if we get a focus group together. Let's study and see about how we're marketing it, how we're designing the cans or whatever it may be, which is what companies do all the time.
Yeah.
And you approach it from a research, and you bring in actual researchers, market researchers, who then sit down and say, hey, this is what our market research is showing us. That's why they use the term. But if we, and here's the thing I say about leaders, the skills that are necessary to be effective in relationships are the exact same skills that you're already using in your leadership. You're already doing market analysis and research and studying and,
right.
and analyzing.
Right. That's your management, your operational skill set.
Yeah.
And it's transferable into the way that you lead. All right. The executive producer is pulling his hair out. He's screaming at us about the time that we've spent on this. Are we going to continue? Are we going to blow through the stop sign? Or
We're going to pause here. We're going to pause here because this is so great, and we can stretch it out. We're in no rush. We're going to get through all these shows, and we're in no rush. So we're going to pause here. Let's pick it back up, because the other stuff, I don't want us to rush ourselves through any points. I think they're all good points. Let it flow naturally.
Got it. So, all right. So we'll leave it here. We promised everybody, or we said at the beginning of the show, that we would do this this was the final of a four-part series. But one of the things that Dr. Davis likes to do routinely to me is to throw me under the bus, make me look like I can't tell the truth, humiliate me, all of these horrible things. So I have just triangled in our entire audience, a good example of how that works. I've brought the audience in to complain about a relationship that I'm having a difficult time with.
And as you say that, I can literally hear them at my front door with pitchforks and torches, man. They are fired up, ready to drag me to the stakes, man.
All right, so we'll leave it there. We want to thank everybody once again for joining us for the Unboxed broadcast. We hope that this has been beneficial and fruitful for you. I think that it's a great topic. I think I've learned a lot. I hope our audience has learned a lot as well. So I'd like to thank everyone again for joining us. We'd like to thank all of the team members who make this possible, for our poor executive producer who will probably need some type of mental health care as a result of dealing with us. We want to personally thank you, Bobby Davis Jr., for your work that you do. Thanks to John Sedano for the marketing, Damon Mace for all of our audio, visual, and all the other great stuff that he does for us. So for Dr. Robert Davis, I'm R.P. Soriano. We'll see you in the next episode of Unboxed, where we continue to discuss the four ways that leaders can work on their emotional maturity. Be well.
Unboxed provides a full-service leaders peer support community that helps high-level leaders become more authentic leaders who build healthy workplace cultures and reach their personal life goals. To learn more and discover how we can take your leadership and your life to the next level, please visit our website at unboxedtolead.com. That's unboxed, the number 2, lead.com. Again, that's unboxed, the number 2, to lead.com.